Last week we were looking at this death that glorified God, the sickness that glorified God. That's what happened with Lazarus. We don't know what happened to him, why he got sick, but sometimes, you know, as we've talked about this earlier this morning, life is like a quarter. It can flip any time. And we have seen that happen to some of our loved ones, people that we know about. But we know the thing is, my brethren, we have to be prepared. And if it happens, God takes somebody home, then we have to accept that. It's not easy. We don't know how we're going to respond to that. There are five stages of grief. The first one is that you go numb. You go numb. And you're just in a state of shock. Second of all, you get angry. Get angry. Some people get angry at God. Other people get angry at the doctors. They don't understand why. The third stage is that you bargain. I will do anything to get life back to normal. You know, it's like juggling balls. You're just trying to do this. And the reason why, there's a point why I'm bringing this up, because think about Mary and Martha, what they had to go through. And then fourthly, there's depression. Depression presses down on you, okay? Because you're like, you're at a loss. And then fifth, but not last, because there are other steps, acceptance. You accept it. And then another step is that you move on. And you just open up and you branch out and you spread your wings like as an eagle. And you fly over life's circumstances where we left off last week. And so you look down at these things and you thank God that you can soar high like an eagle and understand them. But you don't know how you're going to react. It's very unpredictable. So you have here this wonderful family. And Jesus used to visit them. We looked at two words last week. One is like a brotherly type of love found in verse 3. Saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. It was a sickness unto death, but it was to glorify God. Anything that happens in life, let me tell you, we've known this for saints of old here, saints of age I'm speaking to. Those who here are elders, elderly women, elderly men, and be very thankful for their experiences and say, you know, it was for God's glory in the long run. I don't get it, and I miss this person or persons, but it was for his glory, and I'm good with that because I have my Savior with me every day. He saves me. He keeps me. He allows me to keep on going. And it's not necessarily in death. It could be that we miss people here today that used to be here. We miss people because we moved. We miss family and all because they're not with us all the time. And so, but God in his loving arms, he understands. And there was Mary and Martha. They were like, look, their parents weren't living with them. There was just the brother and the two sisters. They had a wonderful relationship. They were a wealthy kind, as we'll find out later on. They had money, but, you know, money doesn't bring happiness. It might bring a little bit of security. You can get what you need when you need it, but you know what? The bottom line is it doesn't bring happiness. Material things don't. They understood that. They came to Jesus and said, hey, you love Lazarus. That first word, love, and the second word, it was also verse 5 in chapter 11, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. That's agape love. That's the highest, the pinnacle, the very best love that just showers us, protects us. It's like an umbrella over us. And, you know, Jesus loves us. And don't ever think other than that, because he wept, as we find out later on in this sermon here, because he was angry at death. he was angry at death. And they said, oh, how much he must have loved them. But it has the idea of one standing there and then bursting out in tears. I'm sure we've all done that. It just wells up inside of you and you just got to let it go. Best thing to do is just let it go. Like everything else that we miss in life and love. So Jesus, remember, took a day there from where he was across the Jordan River. And he was doing a ministry there. People were getting baptized, coming to the Lord. The word was sent out. It took a day. Oh, Lazarus is sick. He's dying. Remember, Jesus came back later on and says, he's already dead. Isn't that great to know that God knows everything? I tell you what, every once in a while I think, is there a way that I can make God my own way and fix him up the way I want it? I'm like, there is no better God than what we have. Amen. There's nothing better. So Jesus waited 2 days. So what? That this sickness may glorify him. And today we have the arrival of the Savior, is the title of the message. Well, Jesus waits 2 days and takes another day to get back. So it took a day for a messenger to get up there. It took a day for Jesus to get back, 2 days waiting. So, you know, when things happen in life, sometimes we have to put things on pause and we have to continue what we're doing. And then when God tells us, we get right back to what we're doing. And so life is like that all the time. We have to make good choices. Jesus made a very good choice. And God's way we're looking at last week, God is not slack concerning his promises in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. God promises he's going to do something in his time. You better believe it. He does it every time. He does it better than you and I could ever do it. He loves us more than we could ever love ourselves. So he understands when we're hurting. So Jesus was the most dangerous man. This is like just a quick summary of last week. Jesus was the most wanted man. And Jesus was going to go back to Bethany. And guess who was there not far in Jerusalem, a few miles away? And that was who? That was the enemy. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, even people who didn't like him. Because we'll find out Mary and Martha, they went quietly to go visit Jesus again. Martha said to Mary, hey, guess what? The master, the teacher's here. Jesus had already come back to Bethany. And his disciples, remember this, with Thomas? Thomas said last week, he goes, Lord, we'll go ahead in verse 16. Chapter 11, we'll go ahead, we'll die with you. Even though people call him Doubting Thomas, Thomas had enough guts to say, you know what? As the world says, when the chips are down, the cards are down, you know, we're just going to go. You know, what have we got to lose? We got everything with Jesus. They were willing to follow him. And I asked myself this past week, am I willing to just put it all down to follow him? Sometimes we just have to empty ourselves completely and keep on crucifying those sins on the cross and pick up that cross and by golly, I'm going to carry it. Sometimes it gets really heavy, but you know what? Jesus promised too that my burden is light. My burden is not heavy. So the disciples went with him, went down to Bethany. They were expecting the worst. And this is where we pick it up in verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Of course, that didn't surprise him. Nothing surprises God. If we're walking in fellowship with him, it shouldn't surprise us. We know that anything can happen anytime. So after 4 days, his body is already starting to stink, deteriorate, decomposed. They did not believe in embalming the body back in that day. And so also too, this is some background. They would start the mourning process 30 days. It would go on for 30 days, excuse me. And they would have professional mourners And if you didn't have enough money, they would try to help you. You could get a couple flute players and also a professional mourner. And you're saying, why are you saying this? Because this is the background. This is what's going on. You had professionals coming in there and mourning. That's why some of these people that were following Jesus and Mary and Martha, they were mourning. And so it gave a comfort to the people in those days. I know some people like just to have a quiet time. Okay. But in that day, it helped. And so when he was already dead for 4 days, now Bethany was near Jerusalem, verse 18, John says, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women and around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning his brother. So there was a time when they were able to grieve. And just remember, death is a time for transition. It's a time for transition that we who are in Christ, we will be what? Transferred. What? Absent from the body, present from the Lord. Can you imagine Lazarus being there in heaven? And can you imagine people praying for him to come back? Can you imagine going home, being with the Lord, and just, you know, being in heaven and having the wow factor? And you have people praying for you to come back, and then the Lord calls you and says, I want you to come back. Lazarus, come forth. And can you imagine Lazarus having to come back? Well, I tell you what, for some of us, I think we'd rather go home and be with the Lord, right? So, you know, we would say, please don't pray for me to come back. Others would be like, yes, I want to be with those who I love. So if you ever had to put yourself in Lazarus' shoes, it must have been a very awkward time. But, you know, when God's in control, he takes care of everything. So you had those that were comforting Mary and Martha at the time. And then verse 20 says here, and Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now, it's interesting. If you go back to Luke chapter 10, verses 28 through 32, remember the story there that Mary chose the good part when Jesus came over. She sat at Jesus' feet. And remember, Martha was running all around trying to get things ready. Oh, the Lord's here. I think, you know, we're all good, hospitable folks here. We have company coming over. Yes, let me get the place cleaned up. And, you know, as a pastor, yes, then you can come on over. Wonderful. I'd love to have you. Okay? Great time of fellowship. Well, you know, some people say, you know, Mary chose the best part. Yes, she did. Even our Lord said that. But you know what? I think it's just as important. We need to have a little Martha and Mary in our lives. Amen? We need to go ahead and be prepared. You know, as for the Lord coming, the Lord's coming. He could come back today. He can come back in the next few minutes. He can call with a loud trumpet, loud voice of an archangel and call us. And those who are dead in Christ will rise, and those that are remain, you and I today, unless God calls us home right now, will be with him in the air. And so we shall ever be with him. Amen. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful thought? So if Mary had the important part of sitting at home, and I believe she was praying, it doesn't say, I think she was troubled in her spirit, and Martha couldn't wait. She was a hyperactive gal. Boy, she just tore down the, right here, Jesus is here. The man, I am very sure somebody said, this is a hypothetical situation. Oh, the Lord is here. You know, you want to go see him? People are like, oh yeah, this is when the Lord walked here on earth. Anybody said, like Jesus warned us. Somebody says, oh, Christ is here. He's over here. No, he's over here. Jesus is watching. There's a lot of antichrist. Don't believe it. Because our Lord and Savior is sitting on the right hand of God the Father, and he has conquered death, hell, and the grave. And one day, amen, he's going to throw that into the lake of fire. That's the very last thing the Lord is going to destroy is death. And he'll cast in a lake in the fire. And that's one of the reasons why when Jesus left, he was angry at death. You know, because death disrupts things. You know, but thank God that we have a living Savior that conquered that on the cross. And we will have this time of the Lord's Supper as well. So, and when Martha heard, and she was, Jesus was coming, went to meet him. Mary was sitting in the house, and Martha said to Jesus, "If you had been here, Lord, our brother would have not died." Now, this was not a rebuke to our Savior. She's just saying, it's a question. Hey, Lord, if you had just been here, he wouldn't have died. But now even I know whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. Remember, Jesus is about his doing his Father's business. And Jesus allowed this to happen. I know it's a lot easier said than done. But, you know, we've all been through that. And so sometimes we go before the Lord and say, "Lord, why did you allow this to happen? There's reasons why you allow this to happen." And so I love what Jesus says here in verse 23. Jesus says to her, "Your brother will rise again." You know, there's one thing about our Savior is that he is calm, cool, and collective. You know, you may say, well, what about in the temple when he overturned the tables that were trying to make money off of his Father's house? No, there is a time to be angry, and there's a time to be angry and sin not. Sometimes a good old-fashioned rebuke is better than love, right? And, you know, if somebody cares enough about you, they're going to tell you, "You're wrong. I love you, but you're wrong." We've been there and done that. But Jesus was not driven by emotions to make bad decisions, but he had a type of devotion to the Father, you know. And he was saying, "Look, Martha, he will rise again. Do you believe this?" People, our faith today is based on the Word of God. We are saved by faith. Through grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. And I just want to give you a thought of mind here of peace. I'm going to turn over here to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, "Be anxious for nothing." It means don't worry about life. It's not, can life add anything to our stature or what we go through? Yeah, we get the gray hair. Some of us have earned every gray hair that we have. You know, we have worked for it. Even if you dye your hair or whatever, they still come back. You got to keep on dying. But you know, that's okay too. Because God loves us regardless. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." So with prayer and thanksgiving, we're giving thanks. And the peace of God, this is where I'm coming at here. Christ gave a peace that passeth all understanding. It says, "And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your mind." You know, we need to keep our mind guarded, really. "And will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So he already knew what Mary and Martha's prayer request was about. And they were guarding themselves, but they were like, "Howdy, howdy, I can't wait to see this teacher, Savior, Jesus, my friend." But one of our best friends, Jesus, knew about our brother who died, and he was late coming. I don't get it. Sometimes life is very complicated. It's very puzzling. We can't put all the pieces together. Sometimes you got to sit back. Have you ever done a board puzzle? You have to sit back and say, "Okay, I can't see any more of the puzzle. Everything looks confusing. Got to come back in a few days." You sit down again with that puzzle and you put a few. Oh, this is where it goes. You refresh your mind. God wants us to refresh our minds today and always. Going back to Philippians. So God is never frantic. He is never emotionally driven, but he's devoted to the Father. And thirdly, God's delay is often for his display. You know, a delay for a display. And you're sitting there and you're thinking, okay, where's the display now? And you're drumming your fingers and you're thinking, okay, I'm not getting it. Well, God is showing you right there. Pray about it. Say, Lord, Romans 8:28, all things work together for those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. Those that he loves. And there's a reason why all things work together. Okay? Don't look at the circumstance. Look in your heart today. Look with the Holy Spirit, God, who's sitting on ruling in your heart, on the throne of your heart. Look to him, and you know what? Life can be a transparency of what it can look like, look totally different with God ruling and reigning in your heart. You know? Don't look at the bad things in life, as the saying goes. Look for all the good things. Lots of good things around here today. So, Jesus says, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will come again to resurrection the last day. And that refers to Daniel and a few other passages where it refers to the resurrection. And let me just run over here to Daniel chapter 12. And it says here, and at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands, watch over the sons of your people. We're talking about Michael, the prince over Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble such as it never was. There was a nation even at that time, and a time of your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book. It's talking about the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay? They knew that a Savior was coming. The Savior is there. Online, if you're listening to me, the Savior is there today. He is waiting for you to come to him. He'll call you, and you have to respond to him by faith and salvation. And that many of those who slept in the dust, those that were dead, you know where they get the idea of sleeping, is that in funeral processions, they used to carry the body because they had to bury the body the same day because of they didn't believe in, you know, pumping chemicals into a dead body. So they used to parade a body on a stretcher and walk through the streets. Men on one side, women on the other side. And they go through that procession straight to the tomb. So it looks like a person sleeping. So, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, and some to everlasting life, and shame, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. In other words, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And today, there are people choosing to go to hell. I don't think if they knew what it was like, they'd want to go there. But Jesus made hell for a place for people who choose not to have anything to do with God. It's as simple as that. And once they get there, they're angry, they're upset, they're in pain, they can never have, if they're hungry, their hunger can never be satisfied, they'll have all their senses there. And so, but for those who accept, thank God, everlasting life. And we have that today. Make sure that you are saved today. You cannot lose it. You were saved once, and you were sealed upon that day with the Holy Spirit. Nothing can take you, as we looked at a few weeks ago, out of my Father's hand in John chapter 10. You're his, and there's nobody going to take it. Okay, and those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those that turn to many are righteous like the stars forever. In other words, for those who lead others, not just, and I want to tell you something here about this before I forget. There's a guy, a missionary I met. He literally told me this illustration before we came to the Czech Republic, and nothing against him. This is 30 years ago. He goes, I got a lot of notches on my belt. I say, excuse me? He says, yeah. He goes, well, these people I've led to the Lord. And I remember showing him out of Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. I said, everybody, prayer warriors, people that are encouragement to others to go out to lead people to the Lord. I said, there's innumerable things to salvation. I said, you didn't do it. God did it. Well, he didn't like that too much because it hurt his pride. And you know what? Salvation is of the Lord. But we all will shine as bright. It's God's glory, in other words. We'll have new bodies like Jesus in John chapter 21. They saw him in his resurrected body. They thought he was a ghost at first. Wait a minute, is that Jesus there? Yeah. Remember they were eating breakfast? His disciples were. And then shows up Jesus. He can eat. We'll be able to eat. And we'll have the same configuration. We'll still look the same in a glorified body. I'm sure we'll have long flowing hair. We'll look all nice and this and that. But so there is a time when Jesus is saying, look, your brother will rise again. Martha says, I know that he will rise again to resurrection the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. And he goes on to say that not only that, but he is the resurrection. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. And now he says, I am the resurrection. Oh, okay. So Jesus, you are the resurrection. Got it. Okay. And the life. And he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And some people have taken this portion of scripture and says, what are you talking about? You're saying we'll never die physically? Oh, there's a contradiction in the Bible right here. See it? Yep. I don't know how many people I've run into have told me that. I said, no. I said, it's talking about spiritually. Spiritually, we'll never die. Yes, physically, we will. That's why we have graveyards out there. Come on. You know, get a life. Wake up. You know. And so by the time that argument's over with, it's either the person will continue to listen to you or, you know, he's pretty much gone his own way. He's a scoffer. He wants to make fun of God's word. He wants to look for conclusions that aren't true. So verse 27 says, she said unto him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into this world. This is what Mary's saying. Yeah, I believe it. Remember John saying, I have written these things unto you that you may believe. It's belief. You know, the biggest problem, you know what the biggest opposite of belief is? Unbelief. I don't believe it. Nah, don't want to hear it. So, verse 28, as we see here, we looked at his coming, his claim. Verse 28, his compassion. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly and called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came to him. She didn't waste any time. We wouldn't waste any time. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in a place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out and followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Remember, you had those mourners that were there. People were hanging around the house, and they were paid, too. That's just the way the culture was back in those days. So they followed you around and wept and mourned because they wanted to comfort you. So then Mary came where Jesus was and saw him. I love this. And she fell down at his feet and saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. She understood. She knew exactly what happened. And yet she loved our Savior. She worshiped him. And you know, God, I believe God understands when bad things happen to good people, that's why they call it the blues down in the South, is why, this is what happened. God understood her heart, but she worshiped him regardless, and saying, Lord, you're over everything. You understand everything. But I still am upset. And she didn't have a root of bitterness in her. And I don't know why I'm saying this, but we need to be careful about that. It says here in Hebrews chapter 12, because we're going through Hebrews chapter 12 in our Sunday school lesson, Hebrews 12, 14 and 15, it says, pursue peace. Remember Philippians 4, 6 and 7? Have the peace of mind peace of Christ in you that passeth all understanding with prayer and supplication. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. If you got too much of the ugliness, if you got too much of the issues in your life, you can't really see the Lord. He's there, but you blocked him out. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble by many, become defiled. Okay, so it's a warning to God's people when things happen. You need not to be bitter or angry. So she wasn't, and she came and she worshiped him. And so we continue on here as we conclude. In the verse 32, and when Mary came where Jesus was, saw him, fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would have not died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he says, where have you laid him? He understood. There was a moment in time when he groaned because he was upset at death. Death had caused this. Okay, there could be many reasons other people think why he groaned in the spirit. Well, he died. Or, you know, Jesus was 100% God, 100% man. He would understand these things. So he groaned in his spirit, was troubled, and he says, where have you laid him? Remember, he's in total control of everything. And then he says to him, Lord, come and see. They didn't waste any time. And right away, you see the Savior coming. And he wept. And then the Jews said how he loved him. You know, let me tell you something here. According to 1 Corinthians 15:26, that death will be destroyed. Death will be cast into the lake of fire. 1 Corinthians 15:26, and the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Verse 55 out of 1 Corinthians 55, verse 15 says, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? We're talking about that in Sunday school class. The last thing that's going to go, and thank God for that, is death. Nobody likes it. People like life. But Jesus was there as the Savior. He had compassion. It was the sickness for his glory. Next week, we have another sermon we're going to look at concluding this. It will be the third sermon here. But I tell you what, in chapter 11. But thank God that he's in control of everything. And the best part is that it only gets better. It gets better. You know, as the saying goes, right before the sun rises, it gets colder, doesn't it? Around 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and also it gets darkest. And God has a way of translating to us his word through nature. And God, we see the glory of God through nature through that as well. So let us have the peace of Christ today. Let us remember that we probably would have been no different than Mary or Martha in the situation. Praying like Mary did at home, and like Martha, going about what we can do to see what's going on. And so let's go ahead and think about this. We are going to go ahead and we're going to have our time of the Lord's communion at this time. And remember, Jesus, he was going to the cross. As we looked at, this is the last story we have here before the week. John starts in John chapter 12 through 21, talking about Christ, the whole week that he had to go through before he had to go through to the cross. And after his resurrection, then we see in John chapter 21, he's walking in the spiritual body. Gives us a glimpse of hope, doesn't it? Gives us a glimpse of faith. Gives us a glimpse of love, his love.